in the here and in the now. We need to start embracing God more, because that will then bring about and change even possibly our futures. If we can embrace him in the here and now and not wondering where he is and why this has happened, if we can embrace him wherever we are and whatever we're going through, that can bring about change to our futures. You know, the beginning is the most important part. Beginning is the most important part. When I look out in the church today, and I know there are a lot of us not here today, but when I look about on us as a whole, and Susan's one of the founding fathers of this church. I've been coming here for 28 years. John, where's John? John's gone. But John's the same. John just arrived here maybe about a year and a half, 2 years before me. Emma has been here forever. You know, so it's when I look out, this is like a new beginning. I know there's a few of you now have been coming for a few years. I can look at Dorothy, I can look at Dave. I could look at various other people without naming them, knowing that you've been coming for a few years. But it still, when I look out, it feels like a new beginning. It feels like a new beginning. And I don't think we're ever losing sight of that now, because it continues to transform and change and new people come in. And all of that is wonderful. And it always seems like new beginnings. I can think of Margaret, who's recently come amongst us. James and Candu and the family just come amongst us. Larry in the last wee while. Donna, bless her, she's probably the newest one to have come amongst us recently, apart from our blessed family from the States via Inverness and Nepal and all these other places. It's just things are always changing, things are always evolving, and that's what God is doing. That's why God says, today I am doing a new thing. And I want us as a church to be continually aware of the now of God, of the presence of God. God in your present. God in your nows. The God of today who's healing you from gout. The God of today who gives you a new song to sing in front of people. You know, again, we've been encouraging this young man to do what he's just done. And as a mum and dad in the faith sitting in the front row hearing your son sing for the first time is just powerful. And to know that he's leaving behind what he's came from to move into that which God has got for him today is awesome. Amen. You see, we have no idea of his history. And that's what I love, because people, when they first come here, want to tell us their history. We don't want to know it, because that then gives us a bias and a prejudice and an insight as to what we don't want to know. Because when we start to tell you what God is telling us to tell you, you get amazed by that, because God's reading your history books. And we love it because we don't know Tim's story, or to a depth and degree of Tim's story. When we start to speak to him, it resonates with him, because only him and God knows these things. So that's what makes it all the more special. So to see these new things in our midst that God is doing is just wonderful. Hallelujah. So the beginning is the most important part. And I want us to go back again. I'm sorry I'm taking you back. No, I'm not sorry I'm taking you back. Let's turn again to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Because the beginning is the most important part of our journey with God. It's how you begin. I know the song says it's not how you begin, it's how you end. But you've got to begin well as well. You've got to start well. I praise God that when I started this Christian walk 28 years ago, I started well. I was in the pub on the Thursday night, getting drunk as a skunk as normal. Waking up on the Friday morning to go to work with a hangover as thump, thump, thump could give you. And the Friday night I went to church with Susan for the first time ever. And I got wonderfully saved around 9 p.m. on the 12th of August 1988. And I never went back into the pub again. I was delivered. I was set free. I started well. I started strong. So you've got to start well. You've got to start strong. You've got to just make a decision and say, no, that's no longer who I am. And I had no idea what I was saying, but the Bible tells me that it's no longer me that lives, but Christ that lives in me. It tells me the old has gone, the new has come. So I knew that the old me had gone, and somehow, couldn't understand it, but I knew me had come. I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what was going on. I just knew that something had changed. And I was determined to start well. And I praise God that I don't think... Well, it might be a boastful or even maybe a foolish thing to say, but I don't think I've ever backslid. I don't think I've ever fell away. Now, you might think, well, that's a bit rash and that's a bit harsh, but for me, I don't think I have. I've never decided not to follow Jesus. I've never decided to go my own way. I've always just wanted to follow him. So I started well, begun well, and he who has begun a good work in me will continue to see that through to completion. So of that, I'm confident because he begun it, not me. He saved me, not me. So I know that he will complete that which he's begun. Amen. So it is important how you start. But you know, I want you to encourage you today to see more of your potential in Christ than you do your flaws. See more of your potential in him. See the things that you can aim for and get to in him, rather than seeing the things that you can't. Rather than seeing the flaws. If you remember, we touched on that very briefly, and we will come back to that very soon. Probably not today, because I'm excited by this teaching because it's going to go on for a wee while. But, you know, all Moses ever did when God started to call him was put up excuses. And we touched on that very briefly last week. He spoke about not being eloquent. He spoke about not being able to do this, that, and the other. There's all these excuses. And I just find it wonderful that in Exodus, when God calls him, Moses says, "Lord, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak." And that's the reason why Aaron was raised up, to be that voice, to be that spokesperson for Moses. And that was the grace of God. It was never God's plan to raise up an Aaron. Moses was supposed to be the voice. But God in his grace and God in his mercy raised up somebody to help him and support him. But his excuse was, "Lord, I'm not eloquent. I stutter, I stammer over my words." And yet Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and 7, when Stephen's being stoned, Stephen, before he's killed off, preaches the whole gospel, preaches the whole from the Old Testament, from the prophets, right through to Jesus. He just gives them the whole gospel. And it comes to Moses. And Stephen says of Moses that Moses was eloquent and powerful in speech. He was powerful in speech. Well, there's a contradiction if you ever want to look for one in the Bible. Moses is saying, "I can't speak." Stephen's saying, "Man, he was powerful in speech." And what's happening there in Exodus, I think it's 23. In Exodus 23, Moses is viewing himself with these, with his own eyes, with his own understanding. "I can't do this." Well, here's the thing. None of us can. In our own self, none of us can. Even for me to stand before you today is a miracle. You didn't know me 28 years ago. I could never have done this. I was shy in strange company. I was okay with people that I knew, but with strangers, I was shy and I was introverted. Hello? A shy and introverted man can't do what I do nowadays. But in myself, there is no way I could do these things. But in him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So you see, it's no longer you and me that's alive, but Christ in us, the hope of glory in our hearts. So Moses looks at himself with these and thinks, "I can't do this." Simon sees a man in the Spirit. Stephen sees a man in the Spirit. Sees a man. How do you view yourself? Are you viewing yourself with your own eyes? Then you'll be like Moses and say, "I can't do that." But if you start to view your eyes with eyes of the Spirit, view yourself through the eyes of the Word of God, view yourself through the eyes of Jesus, and you'll start to see a totally, entirely different character appearing before you. And you need to believe that, Stephen. This Stephen, no Bible Stephen, that Stephen. You need to believe these truths, Gene. You need to grab a hold of these things, that it's not just old Bill that lives any longer. There's a brand new creation. It's walking before the presence of God and his people today. So we need to start and begin to see more of our potential in Christ than we do our very own flaws. But in Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And we touched on this a few weeks ago. And I want to touch on it again. In verse 6, "The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, 'You have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and in the lowland, in the south and on the sea coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. And we touched on it the last time, that we need to begin to see more of that potential. God said, see. And on more than one occasion, he says in this portion of Scripture, see, 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 behold, do you observe it? Do you see it? And we need to decide that we're not going to stay where we are. You need to decide that you're not going to stay where you are. You're going to move deeper into the kingdom of God and the things of God and the truths of God and the promises of God. You're not staying where you are. I've said to you many, many times that you're set free. But when Paul and Silas and all these other people were in prison, they were literally imprisoned and chains were round about them. But God supernaturally came into those situations, unlocked the chains. But for as long as you sit wrapped in chains, these chains will not fall off. These chains will get off of you when you rise up. When you rise up from that imprisonment and take a step forward, the chains fall off. And that's what happened to Paul and to Silas and even to Peter when he was in prison. When they got up, when they moved into what God was calling them to do, the chains fell off. And at the end of this service today, we're going to pray for this whole church that you get up and you take a step forward and the chains are going to fall off and you are going to move into more of the fullness of your inheritance in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, when you start to move, that's made mine and Susan's job a lot more easier because you're moving. You're on the go. I've told you this story before, but one of our old favourite preachers was a guy called Dave Jewell. John will remember Dave Jewell. And he was a character and a half. I'm sure there's old YouTube footage out there of Dave, but man, this guy was he just loved people. There were some questionable things he'd done. Hey, there's some questionable things we all do. But this guy was just a man who loved God's people. And he moved in the miraculous. But in the early days of his ministry, he had just got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said to his friends over, I think it was in Boulder, Colorado, he said, right, you jump into your Jeep and I'll jump into my Jeep and we'll go and play hide and seek. He says, so you go off into the town, drive around the town and you hide and I'm going to trust the Holy Ghost to lead me to you. So the guy jumped into his Jeep and drove off and hid in a back street of Boulder, Colorado. And Dave's in his Jeep and he's praying, Lord, just lead me, just guide me to my friend. Just Holy Ghost, just show me in these small things that this is how you work, that you can tell me things that I don't even know myself. Just lead me, Lord. Silence. Lord, I'm beseeching you now. I'm begging you now. Just show me where he is so I can boast in you. So I can say, God did this. God brought me to you. Just show me where he is, Father. Silence. And the third time he was banging on heaven's door and still silence. And in the silence, the Holy Ghost came and spoke to him. And the Holy Ghost said, turn the Jeep engine on. He was sitting there with the car not doing anything. The Jeep engine wasn't on, so he turned the Jeep engine on. And he says, right, go up straight street. Take a second right, take a third left. And he guided him all through the town, and he found his friend. What was the key? He had to turn the engine on. You need to engage the Holy Ghost. Die to our own ways, die to self, and turn the Holy Ghost on and watch him lead you and guide you into great futures. You know, we might not see the whole picture, but you've got to take that first step. You've got to take that first step. Robert Louis Stevenson once said, everyone who got where he is had to begin where he was. Everyone who got where he is had to begin where he was. Paul and Silas began in a prison. Peter began in a prison. Truth be told, before that, they began fishing. They were doing something. But that's where the journey begins. And wherever you are, regardless of your age, that's where it begins. And I want to encourage you to keep walking. Francis of Assisi said, you need to start by doing what is necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly, you're doing the impossible. I got a text from someone the other day, and I had asked this person a question, and it might not even be somebody in this room or in this church, so don't think, who was he having the conversation with? That's irrelevant. And so I asked the question, and the response came back was, I need to get this in place, that in place, the other in place, and then I'll be able to do the answer to your question. And I said to Susan, you know, I said, that's a totally different mindset from me. Because if I had been asked the question, I would have said, regardless of my health, regardless of my condition, regardless of what state I'm in, I'm going to do it. Because as you begin to do it, the equipping to do it comes. So I'm not waiting till I'm healthy. I'm not waiting till my finances are in place. I'm not waiting to do whatever it is I'm being asked to do. I'm just doing it in obedience because he's asked me to do it. I'm stepping out believing that provision will follow. Whether that's health that I need, whether that's money that I need, whatever I need is going to come as I start to move. And that's what makes our job a lot easier, to help equip you, because you guys are moving. You guys are on the move. Well, we believe you're on the move. Susan and I really believe that. And that makes our job looking after you a lot easier. You're people of vision. You're people of dreams. You're people of ambition. And if we can help fan that underneath you to see you fulfill what God has called you to do, wow, it's amazing to see it. That's where we get our biggest thrill from. 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to know that my children are still walking in the truth. That was his greatest joy. To know that those that he had ministered to, those that he had shared with, looked after, loved on, were still going on with the truth. That was our biggest thrill for me and Susan going back to Cambodia this year, 10 years after previously having been, to see people who had been 13 and 14, now 23, 24, 25, walking with the Lord. Wow, that's amazing. And that's what I love about youngsters, to see here they are. Young Naomi, what age are you? 17? What? 15. Hannah, big Hannah. Anna, sorry, what age are you? 15. Naomi, 20. Eden? Oh, you're hiding behind Donna. No. Joel, what age are you? Joel, how old are you?
13.
Jacob. Hannah. Lauren. Joseph. Where's wee brother? Wee Abuka. I know his name's Elijah, but I call him Wee Abuka. He just looks like his daddy. And even the babe's still not here. God has got an amazing plan for your lives. And it starts now, young ones. Don't think it starts when you get to an old man like me. When you, God can speak to you right now. God is moving in your hearts right now. And you've got a word, you've got a voice for this place. And for as long as we are pastoring, I pray that we will make room for your voice. Whether that's through song, or whether that's from here, or whether that's just standing up and sharing something publicly. We will always make room for your generation's voice. Because you're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church now. Amen. And a man once prophesied over Susan and I in Colorado, and he said that we will need the strength of the young ones, but we will also need the wisdom of the older ones. And together when those two work, it's beautiful. So we'll be encouraging you and exhorting you more and more and more to get out of you what's inside you, because it's not yours. It belongs to the body here in Glen Aris and further afield. So we will be making room for your gifts. You are not your past. Stacey, you are not your past, sweetheart. You're not who you used to be. Your friends still see you as old Stacey. But they're seeing changes. They're seeing differences. They have seen. Stacey, you are a remarkable testimony to this town. They knew what you were like. You knew what you were like. But look what God is creating. And look what God is making. It's beautiful. And never be tempted to view yourself the way your friends still view you. Because your friends still will try and invite and encourage you to be doing things that you used to do. It's just, it's not badness, it's not even the devil, it's just they don't understand. You've moved, Stacey. You've moved and you're a precious family. And God has got great things. So you are not your past. God is your now. And He's going to be your tomorrow. And He will certainly be your future. So we are not our past. Maybe we're needing to let something go today. Maybe we're needing to just let go and move in to all that God has got for us. Maybe God wants us to move into plans. Jeremiah, we always quote this. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you." But have you ever noticed in the scripture that it's plans? It's not a plan. It's not just one. It's plans. I was never good at English, but I know that's more than one. I know that's plural. Hallelujah. God's got plans for your life. And yet so many of us are just chasing one thing. One. We think it's one plan. What's the plan of God for my life? We hear it all the time from people who come through Bible college, especially when they get to second and third year and it's time to move on. Oh, I just want to know what the will of God is for my life. I just want to know what the plan of God is for my life. Well, God's got plans for your life. And it's going to take you all your time here on earth and in heaven to understand what those plans were. That's why is sometimes a dangerous question. Because it gets me and you into things that we're not meant to be getting into. And focusing on things that we're not meant to be focusing on. Where we're meant to be just looking unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith. So God's got plans for your life. Ronald's been telling me recently that he's been going up to Sauchie Hall Street in Glasgow to preach, to do some street preaching up there, as well as do street preaching down there. That's a plan, singular. What else has he called them to do? If he thinks that's it, Sauchie Hall Street, well, that's a poor vision from God. God's bigger than Sauchie Hall Street. God's bigger than that thing that He's calling you to do right now. But He's seen, are you faithful in that? You watch the plans unfold. Plans. That's why you'll never exhaust God. That's why you'll never get to the bottom of God. It's huge what He's got for you. And it's bigger than what you think or imagine. So maybe we need to let something go in order to move into our future. Maybe to move more fully into the plans that God has got for us. Maybe we need to forgive somebody. Maybe we're holding grudges in our heart. Maybe there's anger. Maybe there's resentment. Maybe there's bitterness. Maybe there's unforgiveness. Maybe there's offense. Whatever it is, I just believe that God wants you to let it go today. To move into the things that He's got for you. The old preacher once said, don't allow your past to prevent you from moving into your future. And I praise God, Tim, dear sir, young man, you have taken such a bold step today. Not only do you come and sing a song, you come and sing it unaccompanied. Only you and the Holy Ghost and the heavenly host were keeping you in tune today. Hallelujah. And I just praise God that you got up from where you were and you came out to where God wants you to be. And I just believe, young man, that that is the start of a great work. You've overcame a huge obstacle today, a huge barrier today, and you've done it with His grace. So I'm just saying, well done you. We are not the same person as you used to be. God's Word, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We better look at the scriptures, eh? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, being transformed. You've not been transformed. You all know by now that there's a part of you, your spirit part of you is complete and as good as it's going to get. But there's another two-thirds of us, and that's the part that God is working on. We're being transformed into the same image. Wow. You're being created in the same image of God Himself. Wow. Some of you look and you think, oh, there's old Bill, Susan. There's old Mike, really old Mike. You have. Hallelujah. And I'm blessed for you, brother. But we look at one another with ease, rather as seeing Christ in us, the hope of glory in our hearts. I've always said to you, we need to see more and more of Jesus in each and every one of us. That deals with strife. That deals with family difficulties and family problems. Stuart could have a good old grumble. See that son-in-law of mine? See that John? Man, he's a pain in the backside. John could have a grumble at Stuart. See him? He's the worst father-in-law on planet Earth. You know what that is? Viewing one another with ease. All we see is the fault. When I use these, I can see faults in every one of you, and I can see faults in me. But when I use eyes of faith, I see Jesus sitting there. That deals with life's difficulties. That deals with family issues. If sons and daughters, if fathers and mothers, if children, and include my own family, if we would all see Jesus in one another, that deals with a whole lot of personality clashes. John was grumbling in the sky because it was raining. John was grumbling in the sky because he couldn't get a curry. What's that? That's 100% flesh. No, I'm not picking on John. You should know better to tell me stories if you don't want me to tell the stories. But it's 100% flesh. And I've got 100% flesh too, but I'm trying harder and harder not to live there. I want to see Jesus in everything. But that's the work that He has begun in us. Hallelujah. So 2 Corinthians 3:18 is one of my favorites. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. I love that old thing that Andrew Womack brought out years ago when he used to stick it on your mirror. He used to say, look in the mirror and see who Jesus loves. Well, you need to believe it. Don't just look at it, believe it. And just believe this truth as well. What that sticker should say is, what was I going to say? It should say, He's looking at you, Jesus. Because when you look in the mirror, I nearly looked at Gail there when I said this. When you look in the mirror and have your shave, nothing personal, Gail. When you look in the mirror having your shave, that's Jesus you're looking at. That's Jesus, Bill. That's not just you. That's Jesus you're looking at in that mirror. Hallelujah. So you're not the same person that you used to be. 2 Peter 3:18, another 3:18, 2 Peter 3:18, and we touched on this last week. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And again in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. There's some verses say to give you an expected end. Hallelujah. I want you all to stand, please. Thank you, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for the plans and the purposes you have for our lives. And we thank you, Father God, they are for our good. Lord Jesus has come that we may have life, and have it in abundance, to have it in its fullness. Father, I truly believe that what the Scripture tells us there is that the life that Jesus had whilst He was a man here on earth, we can also have too. Amen. Lord, the miracles that He performed, we can do. The wonders that He performed, we can do. The words He spoke of great depth, wisdom, and love, and compassion, we can also speak. How He viewed other people, we can view. Lord, we can be Jesus in this place. We can be Jesus to friends and total strangers, to families and to neighbours. Father, we want to view one another with your eyes. Father, rid us of all hypocrisy. Rid us of all falsehood. Rid us, Father, of anything that is not of you. And church, I believe that today, that as you have stood up, God says this from Deuteronomy 1, verse 6, how long will you stay at this place? Now, I don't know where you've been living. I don't know where your place is. Maybe it's been a place of discontentment. Maybe it's been a place of grumbling. Maybe it's been a place of wrong attitude towards somebody. Maybe it's just been a heart issue. But God is affording us the opportunity today. God is offering us the chance today, the opportunity today to walk away from that. Amen. And to walk into the things that He has for us. And just in your mind, I'm not even going to ask you to do it symbolically, but just in your mind, if you choose to do this, in your mind, just take a step away from that which has been stopping you from moving into the things of God. Leave behind anger. Leave behind judgmental thoughts and attitudes. Leave behind bitterness. Leave behind disappointment. Leave behind hurt. Leave behind pain. And walk into, right now, just walk into more of the inheritance that God has prepared for you through Jesus Christ. All I know is for you is it's bright, it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. If we will leave, if we will get up from this place, and if the Lone Ranger will get out the room, hallelujah. Can we remember to always switch off phones? Alex. Hallelujah. Leave behind these things. Leave behind these things right now. And move into the things that God has for you. Father, we thank you. People right now in this room are just moving. You're on. I see a mass exodus. A mass exodus. There's thousands of people moving and leaving behind that which has been holding. I'm seeing thousands of people. Thousands of people. I believe for you listening even on the podcast and the website right now that you're leaving behind things as well as the people in Dumfries today. There are thousands of people being impacted by this. Thank you, Lord, for the mass exodus that people are moving from death to life. I thank you, Father God, even in this room for what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. Lord, you're just touching, you're touching Bill, you're touching Dorothy, you're touching many people in this room. Father God, they're moving into these new things, young and old alike, from Lauren to the oldest, Lord, from Lauren to Tom and everywhere in between. Lord, new life, they're moving into new things. Thank you for them, Jesus. Thank you for their willingness to give up that which has been holding them back. Father, I thank you that your word says you will honor them that honor you. And I thank you, Father God, that you're just moving these people. James, God says, son, just rest as you're doing and rest well. For busy days lie ahead. Busy days lie ahead. But this is the time for you, James, to sit on my knees, says the Lord. Learn of me. Get into my word more than you already are. Turn to me. Give me your full attention. Give me your full thoughts. And watch what I will do. Son, I've called you to be my voice. I've called you to be an oracle for me. But son, first I want to give you deep, deep knowledge of my truth. Deep, deep knowledge of my word. Son, you watch. The opportunities will come thick and they will come fast. Trust in me. Trust in me in your days of not knowing. Trust in me in your days of uncertainty. And watch me make these days certain for you. Dorothy, God's saying he has seen your faithfulness. He has seen your faithfulness as you have clung on to him. Sometimes even, Dorothy, just by your fingernails. But God says, I've seen a faithful woman. I have seen a faithful woman and God is rewarding you. God is rewarding you. God's telling me right now, Dorothy, to tell you, you are going to live to a ripe old age. A ripe old age. And Dorothy, God is saying, you will know a well-being and you will know a health that is not of you, but this is truly from God himself. You are entering into new days because of your faithfulness. God is saying to me that there are times when you have felt like giving up, but you have thought, well, where else can I go? You have hung on in there, dear lady, and God is a rewarder of faithfulness. A rewarder of faithfulness. And He says, ripe old age for you. Healthy, ripe old age.
Hallelujah.
Young people, young women will be amazed at your stamina. Young women will be amazed at your fitness levels. People will try and make you sit down to help you and to do things. But don't you yield to that unless by the Holy Ghost, because God is saying, I'm giving you strength that's not of you. People will be cross with you. People will be angry with you for doing these things. But you will say, look, God has given me strength to do these things. He's given you a supernatural energy. Hallelujah. Thank you for our Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you and praise you for all that you're doing in our midst. I thank you, Lord, that every life has been impacted in this room. And for those who will listen to recordings, their lives also will be impacted. Thank you for that mass exodus that we see. Lord, people are moving more into the promised land, moving more into the yes and the amens that are through Christ Jesus. So, Father, we praise you. We thank you for all that you are doing in our midst. Susan, God says, Francis is Susan. Susan, God says, you're a faithful wife. You're a faithful woman. And God is saying to you, I'm sending you help, even from this body. And God is saying, as your sisters reach out to you, you need to receive. You need to receive. Receive the love of God through these people. You're a woman who loves much, but struggles to receive that same love, says the Lord. Now God says, abandon yourself on Him. Abandon yourself on Him. Give up your ideas, give up your agendas, give up your thoughts, and let Him consume you, Susan. And you're going to be amazed and overwhelmed afresh by the love of God. You're going to cry, Susan, but these tears will not be tears of sorrow, of hardship, of heartbreak. These will be tears of joy as you encounter God afresh for yourself. You are a wonderful woman, a wonderful wife, and a wonderful mother and grandmother. And God wants to be that same wonderful person to you. Just know a fresh embrace, Susan. Know a fresh embrace. Just know that fresh touch from heaven. You're a strong woman. And God is saying that a lot of your strength has sometimes been of your own self. But God said, allow Him to rise up in your life and let Him be your strength. Let Him be your protection. Let Him be your lover and let Him be your friend. Susan, He loves you and He is passionate about you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Can I ask the young ones, please, as we close, to come down? Can I have the Naomis, the Jacobs? Can I just have that young generation, Annas? Can I have you all down here? And we're just going to pray for you as we close. Hallelujah. So please come down to the front. All you young ones, bring wee Elisha down. If wee Lauren's available to do that, bring her down too. And I just want you all to line up facing the folks. Come right along, Hannah. Right along. Leave room for Elisha. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is wee Lauren coming down? Nice one. Hallelujah. Is that all our wee ones? Yeah, the wee man's there too. Wonderful. Hallelujah.
It's moments like this, I'll sing a song to Jesus.
You're right there, Mrs. Okay.
We are not young.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I've often said to you, why do we do this? Because in Jewish custom and Jewish tradition, this is an agreement. When you're doing that, you are now agreeing with something that is about to happen. So we're just going to bless and commend these young ones, this young generation, from the wee tots to the ones not yet born. And everywhere in between, we're just going to bless these young ones. And Father, we thank you as a church how precious and how priceless these lives are. Father, we thank you for them. We thank you for each and every one of them. We thank you, Father God, for the plans and purposes you have for their lives. Father, let them get excited by what you have for them. Holy Spirit, stir them up by what you have for them. Holy Ghost, just maybe in some of them you may have to reignite that fire. But we thank you that the fire has never gone out. There's been embers smoldering away. And by your Holy Spirit, we just blow on these embers, Father. And Lord, we say that they will not be drawn away by the ways of this world. Lord, they will be a sign and they will be a symbol. They will be a sign and they will be a symbol to their friends, to their neighborhoods, to their families. Lord, they will be a challenge to all that they come across. Father, we thank you for them. We thank you for their willingness. We thank you for their boldness. We thank you for their courage to be used by you. And Father, we praise you and thank you for the plans and for the purposes which are many and which are great. Lord, never let them be content with anything else. Lord, let them walk boldly and let them walk fully into the things that you have planned and you have ordained for them. Father, we thank you that you will keep them safe. We thank you, Father God, that these youngsters that stand before us today are tremendous and awesome. They're filled full of great potential. And Father, we thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you've not only got Aaron's back, you've got his front, you've got his sides. You've got them totally 100% covered, Father. And for that, we give you praise and glory. We just release you. Every one of you, we release you into the fullness of God and his promises for your life. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.